In other words, they have to have, I think they've shortened it up to the minimum length necessary to allow for those deeper draft sailboats and to have the program at that place. And I think they do make a good case that it's a whole lot safer to have these scouts on campus than it is to be taking them down the street to another marina where they wouldn't be able to control the environment. So I think also we just have to look at the code in this case and look at the issue of private benefit. And I think the benefits in this case are rather extraordinary for a private project. Typically a private project has rather limited benefits in terms of occasional enjoyment of boats and things like that. But in this case, you're introducing several hundred youngsters to boating for the first time probably in their lives. And I think many of them might not otherwise have that opportunity. So I think the benefits in the case are compelling.
Ready for the question?
Ready for the question.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Carried. Thank you very much. All right. The next item on the agenda is item 5, Scott Niblow. This is a review of the Norfolk Wetlands Board decision of December the 14th.
Okay. Who is this young lady making this presentation? She seems to her.
This is Mrs. West.
Didn't recognize her.
No. Interesting.
Anyone here from Norfolk Wetlands Board?
Yes, sir. Give me a moment. They, Wetlands Board uses different software than we do. I just have to load that up real quick. Thank you, sir. Members of the Commission, Commissioner Pruitt. The 05-2305 M. Scott Niblow is before you on review of the Norfolk Wetlands Board December 14, 2005 decision to approve a permit to install a riprap revetment within jurisdictional wetlands on the property situated along the Lafayette River in Norfolk. I realize this isn't very smooth, and I apologize, but go ahead and get started. All the slides that I have for you today were shown to the Wetlands Board. Sometimes when staff brings a review or an appeal to you, we've taken our own aerial photographs. However, Norfolk does that on their own, so that's not a case. And in this one, there are no staff slides here. These are all slides that were shown by Wetlands Board staff to the Wetlands Board. This is just an area map of the city of Norfolk. And this is an aerial photograph from 2004, again shown by staff. And a close-up, this is Niblow property here, which you can see is on a small peninsula in a sheltered cove area off the Lafayette River. The project is for the installation of 437 linear feet of riprap. Staff estimated 1,221 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 90 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands would be impacted by the project. I'm going to go ahead and go through the slides a little further. Mr. DuBois showed this slide in order to highlight where approximately jurisdictional limitations would be. The upper limit to tidal wetlands, as you can see in this slide, is at elevation 2.74, and this yellow line is actually 3 feet. So it's close. It's not exactly right, but it's good for a benchmark. Norfolk Wetlands Board, as I said, considered this application on December 14, 2005. Mr. DuBois provided an extensive overview of the project, including some historical information regarding a previous denial of an application by the board for a similar project on the same parcel in 2001. I'm going to go ahead and go through these slides pretty quickly. These are the 2001 slides. As you can see, we've got a total of 74 slides here. So I'll move through pretty quickly. Again, these are all the 2001 slides. The purpose of this was to show the extensive amount of wetlands on the property, how healthy they are. Again, the 2001 project. This is marching all the way around the property. And this was the project plans at that time, showing a bulkhead and some fill. These are the current site plan photographs. Again, we're starting at one side of the property, and we're going to march all the way around to the other side. And the point of these slides, that the reason Mr. Du Bois chose these slides, was to show that pretty much the property hasn't changed much. The wetlands are still very lush and healthy. You have some small salt bushes here where the area may have been impacted and the wetlands are coming back. And again, I'll just run through these so you can see that the property doesn't appear to be experiencing much erosion. The wetlands appear to be still very healthy. Again, some small salt bush here in this bare patch. And again, we've gone all the way around the property back to this porch, which you saw in the 2001 photos as well. I believe the point of this shot was to show that some yard debris had been deposited in the wetlands area, and I believe Dr. Niblo has removed that. That's no longer an issue, but it was in October. These were some shots taken a month later of the same property. Again, I realize this is lengthy, but all of these slides were shown to the Wetlands Board. Small salt bushes here, the Stickless spicata, which is a marsh grass. And again, same thing, we're marching all the way around the property to that porch area. These are the project drawings. See that Mr. Du Bois has noted here in the drawings that this is the location of the proposed revetment for this project, and that it is his belief that there are jurisdictional wetlands within this area that were not identified by the applicant and the agent during their assessment of the impact of the project. And a final aerial. And go ahead, Kathy, with the lights, please. Mr. Du Bois noted during his staff presentation that the VIMS report stated that there was no observable active detrimental erosion at this site. VIMS estimated total wetlands to be 1,311 square feet. Mr. Du Bois also noted during his presentation that the stated project purpose was to create a physical barrier to keep the Niblo children out of the marsh area. Finally concluded his presentation with the recommendation that the application be denied because of the lack of erosion at the property and that there was sufficient upland available to relocate the riprap structure apart from tidal wetlands. There was no need for this structure to be within wetlands. If Dr. Niblo wanted a structure, he could have one, but it didn't necessarily need to be in the wetland area. The board thoroughly considered all the evidence on the record, the testimony of the applicant, his agent, and VMRC staff. The applicant's agent, Mr. George Bangs, noted in his testimony that the applicant has worked with the board staff and they did modify the original proposal, which is correct. The original proposal had a much greater wetland impact. The staff and the agent met on the site, pulled the structure back some. However, it appears that in Mr. DuBois' opinion, not enough to eliminate as much wetland impacts as possible. Mr. Bangs estimated there'd be only 100 square feet of tidal wetlands that would be impacted, and that the applicant was willing to compensate for those with on-site mitigation. Dr. Nublow also addressed the board. He explained that the purpose was both for the safety of his children and as a form of land management to keep the wetlands from further encroaching into his property. As I said, BMRC staff also addressed the board. That was not myself. That was Mr. Jeffrey Madden. He noted that the board appeared to be uncertain of their upper limit of jurisdiction. He recommended that they might want to table the decision and require an official delineation, either official delineation by VIMS or a survey of elevations, to clearly denote the jurisdictional benchmark so that the board would be more clear on what it was they were voting on. The board in their discussions noted that on-site mitigation beyond that which was offered up by the applicant may be required. The applicant agreed to that he would mitigate both in the area of a boat ramp that he was going to remove anyway and also do some more on-site near some holly trees on the other side of the property. The board voted 7-1 to approve the application with the following special conditions: that the structure be moved landward 1.5 feet to reduce impacts to wetlands. The applicant should submit a mitigation plan, which would include 400 square feet of mitigation. That the plan should be reviewed by staff, and that the applicant must submit an erosion control plan. In summary, there appears to be no evidence of active detrimental erosion on the property. There's historic evidence from staff visiting the property in 91. The property looks virtually unchanged from then until now. In addition, there appears to be sufficient upland on the property to allow the installation of any sort of structure, of retaining wall, some riprap, a fence, what have you, that would provide protection from the Nublow children without impacting any jurisdictional wetlands at all. Therefore, it does not appear to be a demonstrated need to place the structure in the wetlands. In reviewing the excerpt of proceedings city staff provided with the record, staff notes there's no discussion on the record by the board for any further need for avoidance. The board began its discussions with consideration immediately for mitigation of any impacts proposed. It appears that the board, therefore, did not follow the criteria set out in the wetland mitigation and compensation policy, which states in part that in order for proposed impacts of wetlands to be approved, three specific criteria must be met. Those three are all reasonable actions, including alternate siting, which would eliminate or mitigate wetlands loss, or disturbance must be undertaken, that a proposal must clearly be water dependent, and that the project must demonstrate a clear need to be in the wetlands while providing overwhelming public and private benefits. When a proposal cannot meet one or more of these criteria, the permit should be denied, or the activity must be relocated in an area outside of wetlands. Regulations further state proposed activity should stand on its own merits in the permit approval process, and compensation should not be considered justification for permit issuance. In addition, it appears based on the testimony by VMRC staff during the hearing and given the large discrepancy between the estimated impacts by the applicant's agent and by VIMS, the true impacts associated with this project were unclear. It would have been very difficult for the board to quantify how much wetlands were being avoided or would still be impacted, even with relocating the structure 1.5 feet landward of the proposed location. Given that the placement of the structure within tidal wetlands appears to be unjustified and that the board did not appropriately apply the guidelines contained within regulations, staff recommends that the application be remanded to the Norfolk Wetlands Board for reconsideration with the following four directives. Number one, the board should require the upper limits of jurisdiction be determined and clearly marked by staff for the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. In the alternative, we believe that it would be acceptable for a surveyor to locate the 2.74 elevation mark as an alternative to VIMS doing delineation. Number two, to the maximum extent practicable, any riprap or other structures should be installed landward of the upper limits of wetland board jurisdiction, thereby eliminating most, if not all, of the impacts to the wetland area. The board should consider the application only if, after the structure has been relocated, unavoidable wetland impacts remain. And number four, in accordance with the recently adopted mitigation policy, mitigation should be required if any unavoidable impacts to jurisdictional wetlands remain associated with the project.
Any questions from the commission? All right. Just one of you going to speak from the Wetlands Board?
This is why it's available for questions.
Okay. Okay. What is your position there?
I'm a city attorney with the City of Norfolk. Ladies and gentlemen of the commission, my name is Roby Hackney, and I appreciate your time. I'll be brief. The Wetlands Board for the City of Norfolk spent a great deal of time with staff and with Dr. Niblow, and I would just remind the commission that they may modify, reverse, or remand only if, in their opinion, they find that the Wetlands Board of Norfolk failed to fulfill its responsibilities. In this case, we ask that the commission uphold the Wetland Board's decision. The Wetlands Board's decision was appropriate based on all of the evidence that was put before them. There is minor impact to the wetlands in the opinion of the board. And we recognize that there were some judgments that were made in coming to the conclusion, but we ask that the commission not substitute its judgment in favor of the board's judgment. There has been no abuse of discretion here, nor any arbitrary or capricious decision. And that's all I have to say.
Any questions from the commission? All right. Thank you very much. Here are the matters before the commission.
I'd like to make a motion, Your Honor.
Mr. McCluskey.
I feel like the Norfolk Wetlands Board is the appropriate authority to judge this case, and they're knowledgeable. People are devoting their time to looking at it, considering all the options, and I'd like to support the Wetlands Board.
Motion made by Mr. McCluskey to uphold the Wetlands Board decision. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Seconded by Mr. Garrison. Further discussion to the motion?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Schick.
Yeah, I'm still not clear why riprap is being used in this circumstances and why the encroachment in the wetlands need to be done at all. This is obviously a piece of property that's not eroding to a large extent. Riprap is not a good barrier for protection of children. actually, the wetlands are probably better for them to get in than the riprap, and bulkheading would be easier and less invasive to use, out of the wetlands area. And if we don't know exactly where the wetlands, upper wetlands, start and stop, I don't see how the impact can be really quantified. So I can't support this this motion for those reasons.
That based on your point you raised, we have to ask your Mr. Duvall, yeah. I will have to put you on the road.
Sir.
I swear the testimony shall give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Thank you,
Mr. State
your full name and position.
Kevin Dubois, Environmental Engineer, staff to the Norfolk Wetlands Board.
Could you respond to Mr. Schick's question about the boundary upland? Did the Wetlands Board know where it is?
We didn't, Mr. Schick, we didn't perform an official delineation which would encompass both a determination of the 1.5 times the mean tide range elevation and a determination of plants. We certainly recommended that the applicant, at their option, could perform that. That would help clarify the issues. They chose not to do that and agreed to accept an observational determination of the amount of wetlands. And I think there was a difference of opinion as to the amount of wetlands to be impacted.
And your second question pertained to the erosion rate?
Was there any erosion rate noted in you know, historical photographs or measured to, you know, felicitate the necessity of such a, you know, a major structure like riprap?
I believe in the record, staff's opinion was stated that we didn't feel that there was significant detrimental erosion. We were in agreement with the VIMS assessment in that regard.
So why would riprap be needed in this case if there's no erosional impact?
I can't answer why the board voted as they did. I can only say that I assume that they felt it was necessary.
I'm sorry, Bob.
I didn't know whether you want to ask them anything about the plans for the road.
Yeah, we probably will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Crowley.
Yes, anyone from VIMS have a comment on this? Were you there? Or did anybody review this project in North? All right, Dave, if you don't mind, appreciate it.
Commissioner Pruitt, I've actually been to this site, although it was a few years ago under a different applicant. And to the best of my recollection, I had similar concerns that we expressed this time around in regards to the lack of active erosion on the property and the amount of vegetated wetlands that would be impacted by any structure. Speaking to the conditions there today, they looked very similar to what I recall, and I think that the comments that we made this time around are a reflection of that, our concerns over the impact of vegetated wetlands in a situation where it does not appear that an erosion control structure is warranted.
Any other questions for Vince? Mr. Fox?
So it would be my understanding that it's your opinion that there's no justification for destroying any wetlands on this project.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, Lyle.
Just for the commission, when we make, this is an estimate considering the upper limits of the wetlands. This is an estimate that we make based on experience. However, the 1.5 times the mead tide range that is in the law for the jurisdictional wetlands is based on science and logic. That was done from a tidal hydrodynamic study back in the 1970s, before the law came into effect in the late 60s. That 1.5 mean tide range is pretty much where spring tides go and where average storm surges go within the Chesapeake Bay. Luckily for us, saltbush, baccharis, that species is at that 1.5 times the mean tide range. Very strong correlation scientifically. So when we make our estimates for wetlands impacts, we use the saltbush line as the upper limit, which is very, very highly correlated to scientific data from tidal hydrodynamics. So that's where we get our estimates, and I think that may be pertinent for now and later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there an estimate from VIMS on how much wetlands would be destroyed by this project?
I can't recall what it was. Without looking it up, what was it? Do you remember?
It was 1,221 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 90 square feet of
non-vegetated. All right. Anyone else to the motion?
The VIMS report is also item 3H in your packet. If you'd like to look at that.
Now, Tracy, did the Wetlands Board have the benefit of this report?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir,
they did. And discussed it. Anyone else have a comment to the motion? These reviewing the local boards is always rough, and my position has always been the staff to have the freedom to whenever they see a situation where it should be brought to the commission. I don't stand in their way, and it's brought here, but that doesn't mean that I agree completely with it. In this case, and in any case, we're a citizen board reviewing a citizen board. Those people are, I don't know if they get paid, but they're appointed by the city council, I believe, and the counties, it's by the board of supervisors. And I see Mr. McCluskey's point of substituting our judgment for their judgment.
They don't get paid.
And whether they get paid or not, I mean, the point is it's a citizen board just like you're a citizen board. So I don't know where you you have to pay. The code says that they must consider these things. They must consider the VIMS report. They must consider the impact. It doesn't say they must comply with what the scientists say or with what the neighbors say or anybody else says. You have to. Everybody has a judgment on that. So I think one of our main roles here is to see if they did anything procedurally wrong, just like the court would decide whether we did anything procedurally wrong. The judge doesn't substitute his judgment for your judgment when your cases are appealed there, or our cases, rather. So therefore, I don't think we should substitute our judgment, but we should review the record and determine whether or not they complied with code. And I think that's our role in a review, not to substitute our judgment on the merits of the case. Right. That's just I'm just wanted to make that statement before we call for a vote. Mr. Schick?
I just see that the discrepancy in the amount of wetlands that needs to be mitigated is probably the main question here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, you know, two different figures here. And they did have this information ahead of time. That's my main concern.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in this no net loss of wetlands and you know, this new mitigation guidelines that we're using, and if we don't quantify the wetlands to begin with properly, then we're not going to be able to have the mitigation done properly.
That's true, and I guess we have to take responsibility for the last point there, because this mitigation policy regulation hadn't been on the books very long, and I'm just wondering if we've done a good enough job educating the local boards on that, which I think is our responsibility with the help of them. Having said that, we do have a motion and a second on the floor. Let's address this, and then we can let's see what happens with this motion. The motion is to uphold the Wetlands Board. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. All in favor of the motion signify by raising your right hand. 1, 2, 3. All opposed to the motion, same sign. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So the motion fails. Now, the floor is still open for action. Mr. Fox.
Chairman, I would make a motion that we follow the advice of staff and remand it to the Norfolk Wetlands Board with the four conditions that are listed there.
Is there a second to that motion? The motion is to remand with the four conditions listed. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Any further discussion to the motion? All in favor of the motion signify by raising your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed. 1, 2, 3. All right. The motion carries.
Abstain both times.
So with
abstain, Mr. Chairman.
We have abstention on both of those motions. I'm sorry. I should have noted that. So this is remanded to the Wetlands Board with the four conditions listed. All right, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that this meeting be recessed and that the Commission immediately reconvene in closed meeting for the purpose of consultation with legal counsel and briefings by staff members pertaining to actual or probable litigation or other specific legal matters requiring legal advice by counsel as permitted by subsection A, paragraph 7 of section 2.2-3711 of the Code of Virginia pertaining to Palmer v. DMRC, Mitchell versus VMRC, and legal issues concerning Chapter 12 decisions.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Any further discussion?
I'd like to ask you a question.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
I'll promise you we'll make this as quick as possible. This is a closed session. All right, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whereas the Commission has convened a closed meeting on this date pursuant to an affirmative recorded vote and in accordance with the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas Section 2.2-3712D of the Code of Virginia requires a certification by this Commission that such closed meeting was conducted in conformity with Virginia law, now therefore the Commission hereby certifies that, to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Virginia law, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which a closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the closed meeting by the Commission.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Thank you, by Mr. Holland. I'll call the roll. Mr. Robbins?
Aye.
Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Mr. Bowden?
Aye.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Garrison?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. McCleskey?
Aye.
Mr. Schick?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay, we're now back in open session. Tracy has just brought to my attention that we didn't allow the applicant in the, I say didn't allow, I failed to call on, and I apologize for that, Mr. Scott Niblow, I apologize for that. And Carl, what can I?
Frankly, I think you can move to reopen the case and provide the gentleman with the opportunity to say his piece and then conduct your vote.
I really would like to do that because one thing I do insist on is fairness, and if I make a mistake, I want to own up to it and correct it. And I think it's a mistake. What's the pleasure of the commission on openness?
I move we open the
motion made by Mr. Fox, seconded by Mr. Schick. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Yes, sir. Come right on up and whoever else with you. And again, I apologize for overlooking you.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Let me put you on the road, though. The testimony shall give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall help you, God.
I do.
Both of you. Thank you.